Good morning, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown Atlanta. We're so glad you joined us. We always start off by reminding us of who we are and what our lives in this world at this time is about. And that reminder is that such is the nature of life itself, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. And you are that opportunity. And so am I, and so it is. It's a great idea. If you spend some time thinking about it, you'll find yourself realizing that there are no heavy duty, good and bad, right and wrong kinds of things. But life, as long as it is being expressed and in a greater and greater way and embracing more and more of the world and more of the people in the world, then the wider that embrace, the greater life is expressing, and the more powerful and important and good will be our experience. So whoever you are, we're glad you're here. Whatever your self-identity, however you name it, shape it, or believe in it, we celebrate you, because whatever you are broadcasting through your body, through your life into the world, is how life is showing up as you. And how could we do anything but celebrate that? So we celebrate with you, we celebrate for you, and we honor you. We believe in a lot of things here. And one of those most important things is we believe in you. We believe in the power of life, the power of spirit, the power of God to express itself beautifully and perfectly and rightly through you. And knowing that so, I invite you then to have a better look at what we also teach and believe, because we do this every week. We share these basic beliefs. They are a small part of our Declaration of Principle, but they are the foundational cornerstones of our building of our faith and action in this wonderful teaching of ours. So hear now our Declaration of Principles. I believe
in one God,
one absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love
and creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life
and the immortality of the individual soul
forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Which is a loose translation of amen, which means I put my thoughts, my ideas behind this idea, and I stand for it. So the amen, the holding our truth. If you want more information about this wonderful Declaration of Principle, you'll find it on our website at cslmidtown.org. Don't hesitate to take a look at that. So we are now going into a time where we honor and broaden a little bit the message for today. As you have probably heard here before, spiritual mind practitioners or science of mind practitioners, we use those terms kind of interchangeably, are folks who have been studying this teaching, who have been applying it to their lives by creating the lives of their imaginations and dreams and desires. And they have also learned how to use this wonderful process and teaching to bring greater love, greater freedom, greater truth to individuals other than themselves. So they're available to you to support you, to assist you as you walk through this wonderful life of ours. And today we're going to hear from one of those practitioners. He is one of the lead practitioners, and he's also our musician. Even though he doesn't sing all the songs, he selects them for us. So thank you so much, Doug Moody. Take it away.
Thank you, Dr. Bob Dean, and good morning. CSL Midtown Atlanta. And it's probably a good thing that I don't sing all those songs because we'd have a very different kind of celebration here. I'm so pleased to be with you all this morning. I've been so fired up about this topic. The theme for this month's celebrations each Sunday to me is just so powerful and so moving because we've kind of been building along this journey all year long through our themes and our Sunday celebrations to get us to this peak. And it reminds me so much of my favorite quote from John Muir, the famous naturalist from the United States here, that said, "The mountains are calling, I must go." I think of that all the time. And it's a beautiful topic that we're celebrating this week called Seeing Beauty and Feeling Grace. And I was thinking about that because it's not hard to see beauty right now, especially here in Atlanta this time of year. Just look outside your window. There's this beautiful show of color going on with just the foliage and the trees. And it's quite a celebration and a special time. I was also, yesterday, I've been reading this book of meditations called The Joyous Abundance Journal by the Reverend Petra Wells and Christian Sorensen. I actually got this book on my practitioner retreat and celebration out at CSL Seaside in California, in Encinitas, California, in June of 2015, when I actually met Dr. Bob Dean for the first time. And anyhow, just yesterday, the meditation and the daily theme was grateful for mountain peaks. And there's a quote in there talking about seeing beauty and feeling grace from Abraham Maslow that says, "Peak experiences are experiences of wonder, awe, ecstasy, altered consciousness, universal oneness, revelation, or transcendental states of being." And, you know, it doesn't necessarily require climbing to the top of the mountain and taking in a view, although that's a wonderful climb and it's a wonderful reward when you get on top to see that connection and that infinity of everything and feeling that you're a part and one with that. But it can also be in the simple, sweet moments of life. Like a few nights ago, we got invited to dinner at my neighbor's home, and she had two of her close friends over that we've become really close friends, and they're a young couple and they're just starting their family. And they just had their second baby. And of course, the two-year-old now is running around with so much energy and is just adorable beyond any kind of imagination. And the mom, Holly, asked me, you know, if I'd like to hold the baby Riley. And I hadn't really held a baby in a long time. My nieces and nephews are all grown up. They're actually starting to have their own children now. But I held that baby for about 30 minutes. And it was so beautiful. Just the miracle of life in that tiny little bundle that's so complete and so perfect. And it just really was very moving. And it was one of those kind of aha moments that Abraham Maslow talks about in her quote. And like I said, you don't have to necessarily climb a mountain peak to have those kinds of moments of awe and connectedness. And I think too, we need to realize that it's not so much looking outside of ourselves for beauty. We also have to recognize the beauty that is within each and every one of us in our souls. And if you're having some challenges with this, please remember that we've got an excellent team of practitioners here at CSL Midtown Atlanta that can help you with that. But it's all very, very beautiful. And I also thought about the song Amazing Grace. And I'm sure we've all heard that. And I wanted to include it in the music selections for this week. But unfortunately, the recording of it that I love so much is not an Empower Music recording. And we didn't have the rights to use that. But I think most of us are familiar with the song. And there's the line in there that says, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." And so I thought how wonderful that we've been hearing that song for decades and generations, but it fits so beautifully into our topic of today's discussion, seeing beauty, feeling grace. You have to see the beauty first. You have to recognize that beauty. And it's everywhere and it's all around us. We just have to tune into it. And the more and more we tune into it, the more of that beauty and the more of that goodness we're going to get in our own lives and in our own experiences and can share with other people. And when we all do that, we suddenly find we're making the world a more beautiful and better place for all. And I think that's what we're really all here for. So we're going to move on now into an affirmative prayer. I'm going to say that in the say this prayer in the first person and ask you to just relax and accept what resonates with you and what doesn't. Just let that go. And so get comfortable in your chairs and just know this together with me. There's one power, one absolute divine intelligence, this cosmic something that is always present right here, right now, within me, within each. All we have to do is recognize and tap into it. It is the constants, the constant force in our being. And I'm always connected with this power, as is each beautiful soul present, because it is always within. I recognize it, I call it forth, right now and always, so that my best self can be present and be expressed and shared with the world. And when I and each do this, we are one with the infinite power, with the infinite creator. Today, I claim divine love, divine wisdom, divine understanding, guiding me each and every day along my journey, along my climb, knowing that I am seeing beauty. I am feeling grace. I recognize the beauty in every situation, in every challenge, in every person, knowing that when I recognize more beauty actually is returned to me, more good comes back to me that I can share with the world. It's this power of creation. And it is within me and within each. It's simply undeniable. It's that old expression of seeing the silver lining in everything, in everyone. I recognize that today. I choose to see beauty. I choose to feel the grace. And my life and the life of each is blessed abundantly for it. I am so grateful for this teaching. I'm so grateful for the Center for Spiritual Living, Atlanta Midtown, for Reverend Dr. Bob Dean, for our wonderful staff, for our team of practitioners, for our ushers and our support staff, and all the people who bring this beautiful teaching to Atlanta and beyond. It is such a great gift, and we are all divinely connected because of it. And I know that because of that, that we all are seeing more beauty and feeling more grace in our lives. Knowing that, I release my word into the universal law. I simply let it be. And I know it is done and it is wonderful. And so are you. And so I am. So am I. And we simply let it be. And so it is. Thank you for that. And now we have some reflective music. It's a song by one of my favorite Empower artists, and it is called How Beautiful by Jana Stanfield. I hope you enjoy it.
I've seen you struggle. I've seen you stumble and get back up again. I've seen you worry, and I've seen the courage that shines in you, my friend. When I'm losing hope at the end of my rope, I find strength in your eyes. 'Cause you've walked alone on the darkest of roads, and your spirit still shines. You inspire me to live courageously.
Everyone. I'm not sure. Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you for that. Sorry for the technical difficulties this morning, people. I'm not sure. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to get Dr. Bob Dean back on live here, and we're having some technical glitches. So anyhow, this morning, our topic, seeing beauty, feeling grace, I touched upon it a little bit this morning in my earlier platform discussion. And I think the important thing in this message is that every day we should be claiming and recognizing this divine beauty, not only around us, but especially that beauty that resonates from within us. That beauty that is within each of our souls. And sometimes we have to climb those peaks. We have to have those revelation-type experiences to recognize that. But the reality is that it's the love and the presence of spirit that are the constant forces that are always with us. No matter what we're experiencing, no matter what's going on, that love, that power of spirit is always within. And we can always call it and bring it forth, no matter what challenges we're facing, even in the good times, but even more importantly, in the challenging times.
Those are great ideas, Doug. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank God.
Okay. Finish that thought. I didn't want to interrupt. Cool. So here we go once more again. See what we got. I was talking about Job. You couldn't hear me, but I was. I had asked the questions about why are we living? What is life really all about? And especially at these in these times when when life offers so many challenges to so many people. For many of us, it is still a wonderful time. And thank you, Doug, for bringing some good ideas here. So, but as we're looking at the challenges and the struggles, I invited you to think back to the earliest writing available in the biblical material, in the Bible. And the very oldest writing is in the middle of the book of Job. It predates all of the other writings that you find in the Bible. And in that, Job is struggling with this question of, why am I alive? His friends question him. He goes through this whole series of terrible tragedies. And the friends keep saying, well, then you should abandon God. God's abandoned you. What do you really believe about it? There are all sorts of questions in that. We won't go into too much detail. But just know that it was a terrible time for Job. He had plague kind of sores all over his body. His children died. I mean, you name it, it was happening. And in the midst of that, I mean, it's interesting to me that the oldest writing in the Bible is dealing with the question of, why are we here and how do we live in the midst of difficulty? No surprise in some ways there that that's where it all started. That was the first writing about this whole issue of spirituality. And Job's conclusion in the midst of all of that was that the Spirit of God made me and the breath of God gives me life. The Spirit of God made me and the breath of God gives me life. In some ways, he doesn't hit any of those questions head on. He just says, in spite of everything happening in my life, I know that somewhere, somehow within me, there is this awareness that God created me and spirit and breath, the breath of God, breathes through me and lives through me all of the time. And then all of the rest of the material down through the ages has shown up in over and over and over again. It's pretty awesome when you think about it. So if it's true, if we start with that premise, that the infinite, whether you call it God or spirit or life or Allah or Jesus or whomever, whatever name or whatever association of the story you have with that, whatever this originating force is and power is, if it is the very essence of that created us, then we must be spirit plus nothing else. God plus nothing else, because if it's God, if it's infinite and it's everywhere present, if it is an infinite power, which I believe it to be, then there is nothing else. So you and I are created of God, of spirit, and nothing else. It's a very powerful thought when you spend a little time thinking about it. That's who you are. That's what you are. So what is this spirit? What is this life? What is this God that we are? Or this God energy that we are? Thomas Troward, one of the philosophers of the last century, said this, that because spirit is light, life, light, love, power, and peace, all of those are the qualities of spirit that show up in life, as life. It must also be beauty. Because wholeness necessitates because wholeness necessarily proportions every part of life, and this proportioning is called beauty. If you think about what you would look at and say is beauty, it has a balance to it. It has a proportions. The proportions make sense. The proportions fall together in a harmonious way. Even though the harmony may be dissonance, the harmony is still there. There's still a sense of how it all fits together. And beauty just keeps that image in mind, that picture. All those other qualities that he talks about of God, those earlier qualities of life and love, he really paints a picture that all of these qualities are how spirit is showing up and continuing to show up in life, as life. So it shows up in each of us as life, as love. Cool, huh? As life, as love, as light. Once there's life, it loves something. It directs itself towards something. And then there's a light that illuminates both that current direction and the things that lie ahead and in the future. And that is power, personal power, the power to breathe, the power to create, the power to live, the power to move. And that power then is unfolding. And with power comes peace. Peace cannot come out of powerlessness, out of a sense of inability to have any impact upon yourself or your environment. Peace can come from powerlessness over things that are harmful to you, as 12-step programs show us. But peace grows from the very, but even that is a power, because you're declaring something to be real and true, speaking your power. And then it is the balancing of all of that, the bringing together of it, that brings then the wholeness of that, which shows up its beauty. I started college in the last century, and in those days, many of the colleges had seals, and the seals always had the terms beauty in it. Truth, beauty, integrity was the motto on the seal of the college I went to. And you saw it everywhere. No one ever explained very much about what beauty was, but it was listed there because in the 1800s, that was a high value placed on beauty, and a great deal of philosophy built around what beauty really is. And it was all about this balancing of things, which is where, you know, Troward comes from in his thoughts. So, So in the recognition of beauty, when you're looking around at the world, if that is the natural quality of spirit, of light, of life, of all of that that is within you, you see the beauty out there. It is not far-fetched to say, you're seeing God. You're seeing the infinite. You're seeing the evidence right there in person, in form, in shape, in color, that often inspires us to recognize God itself. Francis Bacon first talked about this in the 1700s. He said, beauty itself is but the sensible impression of the infinite. I love that. Beauty itself is the sensible impression of the infinite. So when you look around and you see beauty, it's so powerful. But here's the thought. How can you see something and recognize it out there? How do you know it's beauty? How do you get that it's beauty? There's a theory in psychology called object relations. And it goes something like this, that as we develop, once we're born into the world, and depending on how we're held, depending on what we see, what we feel, what the people around us are feeling, we begin to absorb all of that. We begin to get a sense of how the world works and how it is. And we see this face over us again and again and again. And then we have comfort from it. And that's mom, dad, all of those people that bring to us a sense of how important we are. They goo at us and they make faces. And sometimes if you saw some of that as an adult, it might scare you to death. However, as a child, you don't even know what it is. You just know these giant faces are showing up in your peripheral vision or in your face. And as that happens, we form within us what the psychologists call objects, where that object out there forms a reflective object in here, because we have the capacity within us of, in some ways, a blank slate, in some ways not. We already have much in place when we come in. But as these objects interact, the inner and the outer, we create objects within us that match our experience and our impressions and all of those ideas and feelings that we assign to that object. If that object of parent drops you a few times, you may not have that warm, fuzzy feeling when you think about your parent. But what is so fascinating to me about this is, as I think about object relations theory and how it develops, you can't recognize anything out there that you don't have an internal object to match, that you haven't already absorbed something somewhere along the line, in this world at least, in time and space, to give you an identification of it, to tell you what it is. So you see beauty out there because you have beauty in here. And because you are spirit and it is the very nature of who you are, you see beauty out there because the nature of spirit within you is beauty, and that beauty is always present. It is not something you create. It's not something you come up with. It is something you are made of, created of. Beauty, powerful, wonderful beauty. I mean, think about that for a minute. That says then that even with all the other things going on in my life, I can look up and I can see a tree that's bursting in flames of color. Bursting in flames of color. And I go, wow. I used to work at the Grand Canyon, and often there all the way up the trail from the canyon. It's a tough climb out of the canyon, especially if you walked most of the way down that same day. And there were help phones all along the way. Call phones. So people would oftentimes call and say, I don't think I can make it out. I'm exhausted. I actually did that once on a hike I had. And the woman on the line just was perfect. What she said was, what you need to do is only walk about 15 to 20 paces, if that's comfortable enough, then stop and look around. Stop and look up. And you'll see some beautiful view or some beautiful sight, because the reason you're hiking the Grand Canyon is for the beauty of it, right? But you've been looking at your feet all day because that's what you're looking to make sure you don't stumble and fall. Stop and see the beauty and be inspired by it. And then you will find the energy to walk out of there. And she was absolutely right. There were points where I got tired enough that it was only 5 or 6 steps before I stopped to look around. And I took time to sit down and rest and look around. But it was so amazing and so wonderfully right on with this idea and this topic, that the beauty is the recognition of the power of spirit in the present moment, so that when you see it and are grasped by it, wow, how exciting that can be. And it doesn't change the fact that I still had to climb out of the canyon, or that the troubles around me might still be going on, but I had a sense of being empowered from within me to take care of what needed to happen, to take care of what I needed to in order to continue to allow this life that God has given me, that life of spirit within me, to flow and continue to grow and move forward. Had a lot of adventures there, but that was one of the really powerful ones for me. So the second part of today's title is see the beauty and feel the grace. Now, grace is sometimes a troublesome word for us because feeling the grace can be really get tangled up with theological ideas of grace and ideas that come from all kinds of places about grace. Amazing Grace, which is a beautiful song in many ways, and it's such, can be inspiring for all of us. But the definition of grace, and we get it from a lot of places, but one of the more succinct one is by Dennis Merritt Jones, and he says that grace is the givingness of spirit to its creation, the logical result of the correct acceptance of life and a correct relationship to the spirit, and I would say the spirit within us, So it's the givingness of spirit to itself. In other words, when you experience that aha moment with that beauty, whether it's a flaming tree or a beautiful brook or a sunrise or a sunset, what you're experiencing, what is happening in that is grace. It is the grace of God coming to you and through you, gracing you with the opportunity to feel and to know that you're not alone. You know, a beautiful, powerful idea in this whole thing is that we are not now and never have been and never will be alone, even though we often feel it because we get confused about where reality lies. I get confused that my reality is somehow out there, not in here, and that out there is not all connected to in here. And so if I've been alone and I'm spending time alone and I get tired of being alone, I name that as separation if I'm not careful, especially in my old way of thinking. But there cannot be a separation. It's not possible. Spirit is everywhere present always, and it is right here, right now, just for us. So as you recognize the beauty, and as you find the joy and excitement of life coming to you and through you, as you see beauty out there, realize you're seeing it because there's beauty in here. And if you weren't, and if you didn't have that beauty in here, you couldn't see it out there. So when you wonder, am I worth anything? Is my life valuable? Am I valuable? If you're seeing beauty anywhere, even if it's for a tiny moment, that's possible because you are an expression of the divine. You are God itself showing up. You are spirit creating you. Job said it first. Thousands of years ago, actually. That's pretty amazing. Now, there were others in other religions that also said that way back there and earlier. But in Western Judeo-Christian history, that was first. God is my life. God created me. Spirit breathes me and keeps me moving and keeps me going. So I'd like to close with this last phrase, which comes from a book entitled Richer Living. I use it every day. It's an older book, and it's daily readings from Ernest Holmes and also edited by Raymond Charles Barker, who was the minister in New York for a very long time. And just the last paragraph of today's passage. And he says, this is my deliberate choice. And this is intended as an affirmation, so I invite you to take it with me if you choose. This is my deliberate choice. This is my secret desire. This is the sole ambition of my heart and mind and soul, that I shall walk with God. And in walking with God, and I would say walking with the awareness of God, spirit, life, the infinite within me, then I shall so manifest this awareness, this spirit of nature, that everything around me shall be blessed. Not by me running around trying to bless people, but by me walking as truly and honestly with the power of God within me, in my awareness and in my practice of seeing beauty and feeling grace. You see, this is how we are designed to live, with ease, with freedom, with joy, with all of those gifts coming through to us, because we are each one wonderful. You certainly are, and so am I, and so it is. So, thank you all for being here. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And I'd like to invite Vance, one of our board members, to share with you our prosperity celebration.
Hey, Dr. Bob. Thanks for that wonderful talk today. And it's my opportunity to share with everybody our affirmation of prosperity. But before I do, there are lots of ways you can give. You can give online at www.cslmidtown.org/donate. And you can also write in a check You can do PayPal, lots of different ways. Check on the website. There's plenty of opportunity for you to do that. And I know for me, this is where I'm spiritually fed. So in that giving, I tithe back to the center because it really helps me grow and live every day, every week, every year. So I hope it feeds you too. And if it does, please consider giving generously. And now for our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. There's the link to donate. And now on to announcements.
And it's time for everybody's favorite fun game, announcements, announcements, announcements. Hey, stay in touch with the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown through our newsletter. Get one email a week, letting you stay informed. And please subscribe when visiting YouTube to our YouTube channel. Those subscriptions go a long, long way. And while you're on your social media, why not give us a like and a share on Facebook? Let your friends know what we're doing. Invite them to come watch our services with you. And join us on our Zoom room throughout the week. We offer a variety of Zoom interaction opportunities each and every week here as part of the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. 10 a.m. Sunday is our discussion group around the 365 Science of Mind book every Sunday. 12 noon Sundays, our community fellowship immediately following our Sunday services, and 12 noon on Tuesday, our online empowerment opportunity. The access room information remains the same for all of our Zoom experiences. If you need access, please visit cslmidtown.org and you'll find access information on our website. Join us on any of our Zoom opportunities throughout the week. And while you're with us, be sure to connect with one of our professional practitioners. These are folks that are highly trained to support you along your spiritual journey. You can learn more on our website about our professional practitioners. Just head over to cslmidtown.org, click on About and Practitioners. Then you'll see their bios and a way to reach them and learn a little bit more about each of them. And please send us your prayer requests. Click on the home tab and look for affirmative treatment prayer requests. Fill out the form, send it off, and get our professional practitioners praying for you each and every day. All right.
So if you will, join me in our closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that moves through me. And so it is.